A Meeting by Rainer Maria Rilke. Any road outside the town. Sole condition that there is no chance of meeting someone on it. The dog all at once appears like a sudden thought. He acts doggishly, on purpose, seems to be completely occupied with his own small affairs. But as inconspicuously as he can, he directs precisely aimed, remarkably sure glances at the stranger, who continues on his way. Not one of these glances is lost. The dog is now in front of the man, now beside him, absorbed in this secret observation, which grows more and more intense. Suddenly, catching up with the stranger. "I knew it! I knew it!" He gives hurried signs of joy, by which he tries to finally stop the man. The man makes a quick, friendly, calming, and at the same time dismissing gesture, and with a half step to the left, passes the dog easily. The dog, in joyous expectation. It's still going to happen. He groans from the overabundance of his emotions. Finally, he flings himself again in front of the more rapidly striding man. Now it's coming, he thinks, and holds up his face urgently to show that he understands. Now it's coming. "What?" says the stranger, hesitating for a moment. The excitement in the dog's eyes changes into embarrassment, doubt, alarm. If the man doesn't know what should come, how can it come? Both of them have to know. Only then will it come. The man again takes his half step to the left, quite mechanically this time. He looks distracted. The dog keeps in front of him and tries, now almost without any attempt at caution, to see into the stranger's eyes. At one moment he believes he has met them, but their glances don't adhere to each other. Is it possible that this small problem, thinks the dog. It's not a small problem, says the stranger suddenly, alert and impatient. The dog is startled. How? He controls himself with difficulty. But I feel that my instinct... Don't say it, interrupts the stranger, almost angrily. They are standing opposite each other. This time their glances interpenetrate, the man's sliding into the dog's like a knife into its sheath. The dog is the first to give way. He looks down, jumps to the side, and with an upward glance that comes sideways from the right, he confesses. "I'd like to do something for you. I'd do anything for you. Anything." The man has already started walking again. He acts as if he hasn't understood. He walks apparently without noticing the dog, but he tries to look toward him now and again. He sees him running around, clumsy and bewildered, getting ahead, staying behind. All of a sudden, the dog is a couple of steps ahead, turned toward the approaching man, stretched forward from his raised hindquarters as if he were about to scratch the ground. With enormous self-control, he makes a couple of childishly frisky pounces, pretending that his front paws hold something alive. And then, without a word, he picks up the stone, which has to play this role, in his mouth. Now, I am innocuous and can't say anything more. This expressed in the nod he makes as he looks back. There is something almost intimate in this nod, a kind of agreement, which, however, must on no account be taken too seriously. The whole thing is just a silly game, and that's how the business with the stone should be understood. But now that the dog has the stone in his mouth, the man can't help speaking. "Let's be reasonable," he says as he walks on without bending down toward the dog. "That's really all we can do. What would be the use of getting to know each other? We mustn't let certain memories arise. I felt the same way as you did for a few moments, and I almost asked you who you are. You would have said me, since there are no names between us. But, you see, that wouldn't have helped. It would only have confused us even more, for I can confess to you now that for the first few moments I was truly unsettled. Now I'm calmer. If I could only convince you how very much the same our situation is. In my nature there are, if possible, even more obstacles to another meeting. You have no idea how difficult things are for us. When the stranger spoke in this way, the dog realized that it was useless to go on with the pretense of a superficial game. In a way, he was glad, but at the same time he seemed filled with a growing fear that he might want to interrupt. He succeeds in doing this only when the stranger, astonished and alarmed, sees the animal opposite him in a posture that he at first thinks is hostile. The next moment, though, he realizes that the dog, far from showing hatred or hostility, is uneasy, troubled. In the timid brightness of his glance and in the tilt of his head, this is clearly expressed, and it occurs again in the way he is now carrying the stone, which lies between the spasmodically retracted lips in all its hardness and heaviness. Suddenly the man understands, and he can't hold back a passing smile. You're right, dear fellow. It should remain unexpressed between us, this word that has given rise to so many misunderstandings. And the dog puts the stone down, carefully, like something breakable, to the side of the road, so as not to delay the stranger any longer. And in fact, the man walks on, and, absorbed as he is, doesn't notice till later that the dog is accompanying him, unobtrusively, devotedly, without an opinion of his own, the way a dog follows his master. This almost hurts him. No, he says, no, not like this, not after this experience. We should both forget what we went through today. Daily life blunts everything, and your nature has a tendency to subordinate itself to mine. In the end, a responsibility would arise, which I can't accept. You wouldn't notice how completely you had come to trust me. You would overvalue me and expect from me what I can't perform. You would watch me and approve of everything, even of what is unworthy. If I want to give you a joy, will I find one? And if one day you are sad and complain to me, will I be able to help you? And you shouldn't think that I am the one who lets you die. Go away. I beg of you, go away. And the man almost broke into a run, and it looked as if he were trying to escape from something. Only gradually did his steps slow down, until finally he was walking more slowly than before. He thought, slowly, what else would have been spoken between us today, and how in the end we would have shaken hands. An indescribable longing stirs inside him. He stops and turns backward, but the stretch of road bends right behind him into the twilight, which has, in the meantime, fallen, and there is no one to be seen.